And we thank you that we can come into this house, that we can offer up praise and worship, that we come before you, Lord, and we're just thankful and glad and sincere hearts. And Father, we pray right now for the preaching of the word today, Pastor John. Lord, that this word would resonate deep within our heart. Lord, as I always pray, that you would challenge us, Lord. We don't want to go out those doors today without having something to challenge us.
Thank
Lord,
you,
that
Jesus.
We take some part of this message today, we grab hold of it, and we look forward to manifestation of that in our lives. Father, we pray right now that you would bless Pastor John. Lord, that this word would come forth under the anointing of the Spirit, and that we would hear it, and that we would be obedient to it. Father, just bless this time, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure everybody knows what week this is. You have to be living in outer space to not know this is Thanksgiving week. And, you know, Thanksgiving is probably, it's definitely one of my favorite days of the whole year. And, you know, we always host Thanksgiving and at our house, and it's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of cleaning beforehand, a lot of cleanup afterwards. You know, there's a lot of mess that's sometimes left around, but I have to tell you, I'm thankful every time, you know, we have it. I'm thankful that we can host it. I'm thankful that for every person that comes. And every year when we are done, honestly, we're pretty wiped out. And but at the same time, there's a definite deep sense of satisfaction for, you know, how you feel when something's gone done, and you've done it, you've completed it, and you sit back and you go, "Phew, man, that was good, wasn't it?" You're worn out. That's sort of how it is. And, you know, because we're happy for a job that was well done, and not just, you know, on our part, but everybody, because everybody does something. Everybody does a part, everybody brings something, and all works out together. So I can honestly say that I am very thankful for Thanksgiving. I've loved it ever since I was a kid. I used to go to my grandma's house. But as much as I've loved Thanksgiving Day, it wasn't until I became a Christian that I began to understand how important it is to have a thankful attitude. The Bible is very clear about us being thankful, more than we think. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord." Now, look at this comparison. Just as you receive Christ Jesus. How important is that? Right? "Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and here it is, and overflowing with thankfulness." Just as you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord. Overflowing with thankfulness. You remember this past spring? We had so much rain. You remember all the rain we had for a while? It was ridiculous. Streets were flooded everywhere. Our whole neighborhood, we couldn't even hardly get in and out. I mean, basements were flooded and rivers were overflowing. Creeks and rivers, lakes were overflowing. Everywhere, you know, some of the farmers, their crops, their fields were overflowing. And when things are happening like that, I mean, it was news. It was national news that there was a lot of water everywhere around our country. There was overflowing. And that's how God wants us to be with our thankfulness. He said He wants our thankfulness to be overflowing, something that's beyond the norm, something that gets noticed. It's noteworthy, our thankfulness. And why is it noteworthy? Because of who we're thanking. Because He is noteworthy, isn't He? What He does, what He's done. So are we supposed to be thankful just because it's the polite thing to do? Is that why God wants us to be thankful? Why is He so concerned with us being thankful? Thanking God, having that thankful attitude, it takes our eyes off of this self. Takes our eyes off of our troubles. All the worldly things that we have to deal with every day. And it puts our eyes and our heart back on God again. where it should be. Thankfulness is a heart attitude towards God, where we recognize that He is the giver of every good gift that comes down from heaven. That's our God. He's our creator, our provider, our protector. He's our refuge and our strength. And on top of all that, He's our Savior who rescued us from darkness, from a life of hopelessness, and brought us into, you know, a place that is filled with the good things of life. What about the things that don't work out? What about the things that don't go the way that we want to? Are we still supposed to have a thankful attitude? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So, give thanks in all circumstances. That means even in the bad times, even when things don't work out. How can we be thankful when things don't seem to be going right for us, when they seem to be, in fact, going bad for us? Well, this is where trusting God comes in. You know, we don't need faith when everything is working out right. We don't have to have faith if everything is going perfect. We're just going along. It's just wonderful. You know, everything's going good. It's when things aren't working out and we have to learn to trust that God is working through those things. That's where faith comes in, when we start to go through the tough times, when we don't see God, when we don't see what we don't get what we want, when we're not seeing the good things in life. That's when we have to hold on to God in faith. This is where we start searching. We start looking for God's hand in our situation, trusting that He is working in our life, working out all things to the good. Having a thankful attitude towards God, even where things are not going our way, will help us to then see our purpose and see His plan as it begins to unfold in our life. If we're looking, we're trying to find God, if we're seeking Him out in that situation, we begin to see, as things start coming together, we say, "Oh, now I see what God was doing. Oh, I see God's working. Oh, wow, God really, He is working in my life." And as we're looking then for God, it keeps us on the path that He wants us to be on. If we just forget about God, we get lost. If we're complaining, if we're filled with anger or depression or even rebellion, I mean, our hearts are going to grow cold. They harden. We saw what happened to the Israelites in the desert. They all died without going to the promised land because their hearts were hardened because of unbelief, and they weren't thankful. They didn't even care what God wanted anymore. They wanted what they wanted. When we're in that state of grumbling and complaining, we are not able to see the good that God is trying to bring for us, that He's trying to accomplish in our life. Sometimes it appears in ways we don't expect. We don't recognize God. We're not looking. That's where that faith has to step in, because if we get so angry at God and we turn from Him, that can be a very dangerous time. Over and over we've seen in the Bible, I understand Ricardo was talking today, the good, the bad, the good, the bad, back and forth, following God, rejecting God. And, you know, that happens in our own life sometimes. Things are going good. Oh, we're all happy with God. God's really blessing me. And then something goes wrong, and right away we think, like, why is God mad at me? Or where's God? I don't see Him. And there are people that have turned from God, completely abandoned God, because things didn't go the way they wanted. They weren't looking for God in the midst of that. We learn from Romans that those who refuse to honor God end up hurting themselves. It says in Romans 1:21 through 27, For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. They didn't honor God. They didn't give thanks to God. And so their thinking became futile, foolish. That's talking about people who were indifferent to God, towards God. They wanted to do things their way. They could sing that song, "I did it my way." And because of that, their thinking became futile. It was worthless. Their thinking became foolish. They became slaves to things. Doesn't that sound so much like a lot of people out in front of our society today? People who are trying to change our culture to a serve-me culture, to I can do whatever I want culture, to don't stop me from doing my perversion. What's the perversion of the week? What's the flavor of the week almost? It seems like it doesn't stop. And there are so many people out in the forefront of this perverseness, this going across our country, and they get the airtime. They get, you know, you hear about it, you see about it, they're always trying to push their viewpoints and push the envelope, take it further and further away from God, because their thinking has become foolish and futile. They're walking in earthly wisdom that is sometimes nothing but idiocy. It's foolishness. Those people need to hear the truth. I know they don't want to, but sometimes we can break through if we can relate to them somehow and get to a place where we can speak to people. There's people all over the place, you know, that are right next to us that are sometimes entrapped or enslaved or in bondage to all these different fantasies of doing whatever we want. But when somebody can break through that outer crust and begin to love them and share the gospel with them, share sometimes the love of God with them, sometimes we can break through that and help them, and so that they can know the truth. We have the truth. We do have the truth. Because we have Christ, we have Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We have the antidote to this poison that is being poured out in our society of ungodliness. We've been so blessed to have our eyes open to be brought into the kingdom, to be brought into the family of God. We are truly blessed. And we can't just keep it for ourselves. It reminds me of you remember the guys who were outside the city, and then they found all the stuff out there when all the camp when the people were dead and gone, and they found all this stuff, and they finally came to their senses and says, "You know what? We can't keep this for ourselves. We got to share this." And that's us. We have to share what we have. We have the truth. We have the antidote for a hopeless perversion of selfishness and anti-God teachings and humanism and all these other isms and all these things that are apart from God, that are set apart, set directly against God. And we have to take those opportunities when the door opens. And God will make opportunities. He will make them. It says in Hebrews 12:28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful." See, we need to be thankful that we're not lost in that anymore. We see beyond that. We see the fallacy of it. We see the foolishness of that way of life. But there are millions of people who are stuck in that. So therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. According to the scripture, we can't even worship God acceptably unless we have a thankful heart. We need to be thankful for so many things. It's not just the food on our table. It's the fact that we're not living the lifestyle anymore that we used to live. That we're not enslaved by sin. That we're not being, you know, torn down and beaten up by sin. Imagine if we couldn't even recognize God. Could you imagine if you couldn't see God? If you couldn't understand who God was? It just meant absolutely nothing to you? And you just lived apart from it completely? I couldn't imagine being like that. It would be awful. In 1 Chronicles, we find that when David had set up the Ark of the Lord, he appointed the priest there to pray and to praise and to give thanks and, you know, to continuously honor God and give thanks. And we all know, I'm sure we remember, that David was the one who God called a man after his own heart. And David was always, you know, he wrote so many psalms and things towards God, songs to God, things of praise. And just one here I want to read that's actually in Chronicles, but it was a psalm that he wrote. And it says in 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 12, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and His judgments He pronounced. Give thanks," in verse 34, "give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. David is sold out for God. He is overflowing with thankfulness right there as we read that. And he wants everyone else to know God the way he knows Him. He wants us to understand the God that he knows, the God that he loves, the God that he cares about, the God that he believes in. He's saying, man, if they could just get to know Him like I know Him, then their heart would be after Him. That's what he's thinking. Then we could truly, truly appreciate God and honor Him the way He should be honored. All throughout God's Word, we're continuously called upon to have a thankful heart, to be appreciative towards what God has done for us, to have that thankful attitude towards God. That's why it's so important for us to get to know God personally. Once we get to know God, if we really get to know Him, then there's no chance, there's no way that we could ever be ungrateful. Because if we are ungrateful towards God, then the truth is we really don't know God. That's what it comes down to. If we know God, we will be thankful and grateful towards God. If we're finding that we're ungrateful towards God, then we got to get closer to Him. Something's missing in that relationship. Something's not right there. When we truly know God and have a good relationship with Him, our love and our admiration for Him it'll grow and it'll just sort of flow out of us naturally. It'll just come out like the psalm that David wrote. People will see, just like people could see it in David, they'll see it in us. They'll see that love in us. There are too many reasons. There are just so many reasons for us to appreciate God. So many things to be thankful for. Sometimes the problem is not that we don't want to be thankful. It's that sometimes we just don't take the time to collect our thoughts and think about what we have to be thankful for. We need to, I think, sometimes, we're supposed to get still before God and think and meditate on these things and whatever is worthy and admirable and true and wonderful and talks about in Philippians. And that's the things that God has done for us that would be included in that. So we should, on occasion, we need to, settle ourselves and just take a few moments or a little bit of time and begin to think about what God has done in my life. What God has done in those who I care about. What God has done for, our world or our nation or whoever, whatever. How God has poured out His blessing. And if we begin to think about it, the more we think, the more we start looking, the more we will see. We can't afford to just keep moving on. You know what's happening? We get into a routine. It's so easy to get into a routine and do the things of God, do the things a Christian should do. But then we forget to have that relationship with God where we remember what He has done for us and where we spend that time to get close to Him and see how wonderful He is and develop that thankful heart. Ungratefulness is like a disease. It poisons us and it infects us with greed, with jealousy and lust and hunger for worldly things, things that don't satisfy, that can never satisfy. And the antidote to that ungratefulness is thankfulness. It's the antidote. We get a shot of thankfulness, and all of a sudden, the other things start to fade away. Thankfulness can counteract the negativity that we face in the world every day. It's out there. It's all around us. Everybody's a victim. Everybody wants. Everybody needs to have something done for them. And they're demanding because they don't have enough. They don't have enough. They want more. And it's not, they're not helping me. People are doing me an injustice. This isn't right. That isn't right. It's like nothing's good. Nothing's right. Everything's terrible. And that when we have a relationship with God, we have to begin to see that it's not like that. Yes, there's injustice all over the world, but we have a good God that loves us, that cares for us. Thanksgiving will build up joy in our heart, hope, peace, and it will bring a deeper and deeper satisfaction that God is alive and working in our lives. And He takes care of His people. Having a thankful heart gives us the strength to be overcomers. It puts our focus back on God and His awesome power. His awesome power. It's an amazing thing to have a thankful heart towards God. It helps us draw closer to Him and appreciate Him more and more. It's thankfulness is right goes right along with worship. That one scripture that we read talked about if we're thankful, then we can have a right worship attitude. Without thankfulness, we can't even worship God. How can we worship God and not be thankful? We can't. God is looking for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and truth. And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks about being a worshiping warrior. You know, that to have that worshiping mentality, that thankful mentality, knowing how much God has done, what He's doing. A big part of that worship is of our worship is having a thankful heart. Thankfulness gives us a reason to fight the good fight. When we have a thankful attitude, we appreciate what we have in God. And if we realize what we have in God, then we will fight to keep that. Right? Every time we discover a new reason to be thankful, we allow a little bit more of joy to come into our lives. When we're thankful, we feel good about what God is doing in our life. The more we push forward in that thankfulness, the more we will see God is doing in our life. Our anxiety begins to fade away, to melt away. We can say, you know what? I like what God is doing. I like how God is changing me. Sometimes we may not like how the process feels, right? I mean, when we have to go through the strainer, when we have to go through the press, the wine press, but we may not like how the process feels, but we can love what the process is going to accomplish. And we can be thankful for what the process is going to accomplish. We can say, I feel good about what God is doing in me. I'm thankful that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me, who gives me strength. I want to go over one last story. It's a very famous story, and it fits here. I couldn't ignore it for today. It's in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 12. It's talking about Jesus. And it says, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, you know what leprosy signifies, right? Sin. All throughout the Bible, when it talks about leprosy, it relates to sin. And did you remember that when John was wanting to know, was Jesus the one? And he asked some people to go check with Jesus. And Jesus said, one of the things he said was, are the lepers being healed? Are the blind given sight? Are the deaf hearing? Are the dead brought back to life? All things that have to do really with salvation, with being filled again with the life of God. Can our eyes now see into the spiritual? Can our ears now hear God? Can the dead be brought back to life in Christ? Can the lepers be rid of their sin? As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. That's what they used to say all the time, have pity on us. What they were looking for was a handout. They needed to get food. They couldn't live in the city. They had to live on the outskirts. They had to be a certain distance away, and they had to wear clothes a certain way. They had to keep their hair unkempt. They had to keep their clothes had to be torn and ragged purposely so people would know, stay away from them. And they had to always call out from a distance and let people know they were unclean. It was pretty tough being a leper in those days. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. You know, they didn't ask to be healed. They didn't even realize what they could have got from him. They just said, have pity on us. Give us a scrap, maybe. But Jesus, the God of love, he was giving them a lot more. And you know how when you go to you're going back to work, you've been off sick for a while, a lot of times you got to get a doctor's permission to go back to work if you had something serious. Well, in those days, those lepers, they had to get inspected by the priest. The priest was like their doctor. They inspected him, and they told them if they were better so that they could get, I think they even had to give them some type of certificate type kind of thing so they could prove they could go back to temple or synagogue, or they could go back into town, those kind of things, because once they were a leper, they were cut off. So they had to be inspected by the priests. So Jesus is telling them, go see the priest. Why? Because he knew what he was already doing, what he was going to do for them. So he says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even one of the Jews. And he was purposely singled out. He was a Samaritan. That means probably the others, or most of the others, were probably Jews. And here was a Samaritan, sort of a half-breed kind of a guy. Part Gentile, part Jew, part this, part that, who knows what. But Jesus was traveling through that area, and he mentions this was a Samaritan. And he asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise or thanks to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, for your faith has made you whole. Some versions say, well, some versions say your faith has saved you. Only one was really thankful. 9 of them didn't even bother to come back. They were so excited about what they got. They got something from God. They were healed. And that was wonderful. I mean, that was great news. And yeah, they were going to the priest. Hopefully they went to the priest. I'm sure they did. But they didn't bother to come back to be thankful to the one who healed them. And too many times what happens in our life is we run after the things of God, the things that God can do for us. And, you know, we don't take the time to really to go back and to appreciate and to show our love and our thanksgiving to God for what we have. Only one of those was truly thankful to God for what God had done for him and what happened. And he came and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. He worshiped him. He was so thankful. And there's something that God wants us to see, that thankfulness, true thankfulness, helps us to draw closer to God. When we are truly thankful, we will run back to God. We'll honor the one who we know is doing the things for us, who we know is taking care of us. Being healed doesn't make us whole. Having God in our life, being close to God, seeing Him for what He's doing, what He's done in our life, that's what makes us whole. Being close to God. And the more thankful we are, the more we will recognize what God has done for us. The more we will recognize all the different ways He has blessed us. And the more we recognize that, then the closer we'll want to get to God. In this story of the lepers, as I said, the leprosy represents sin. We're all sinners, just like those lepers. Every one of us has dealt with sin in our life. And we've been cleansed by God. That one came back, only the 1 out of 10, and he had an attitude of thanksgiving. 1 out of 10 received the greater blessing, because he went back to be with God instead of just running off with his prize. See, we take the prize, which seemed like a wonderful thing to those lepers who were cut off from everything, but just getting a prize, that's not the end-all, be-all. We have the giver of life. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wants to be our prize. He wants to be our treasure. Not what He can do for us. He's the prize. And that blessed life is there for you and for me. We should want to be that 1 out of 10, that 10% that have learned to have that thankful heart towards God. I think we can all do something, or learn something, I mean, from David, from that psalm that he wrote. I like what it says in there, how, you know, he had his own praise and worship team singing it all day long, every day. They were in the temple and in the ark, where the ark was, and where they had it set up there, and he had his worshipers, and he had his praise and worship team all day long, every day. They had to rotate. They had all these priests, the Levites, and they would be in there with their instruments and singing. And this was going on to constantly remind people about how wonderful God was. And if you remember where the ark was, that would have been like the center of where people would want to be. They would want to come to be where God was, where his presence was. The Ark of the Covenant was there. So they would want to come around that. And when they would come near that area, they would hear that singing. They would hear the thanksgiving. They would hear, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength and seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has pronounced." And then down in verse 34, at the end it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Wow.
Imagine hearing that every time you stepped out. And constantly being reminded.
I hope that you have a great Thanksgiving this Thursday. And that you remember why we even celebrate Thanksgiving. It's not because we have food. It's not because we were healed. It's not because we were blessed. It's because we really, for us as Christians, it's because we've got God. We have the truth. We have a reason to be thankful. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. I was also, after I got done with my message last night, I started thinking about some other things. I was thinking about how all the lepers were healed, but only the one really saw what happened. The others recognized that they were healed, but that was it. But one really saw what had happened, and what he saw was the power of God released through this man, Jesus. And maybe he understood then that maybe he was the Messiah. And he believed, and he saw God's glory revealed. The same thing we've been talking about all year. He believed in Jesus. He believed that he was someone, that he was God. And he came back to worship him. And this caused him to be thankful, so thankful that he lifted up his voice in praise. And because of what happened, instead of going to the priest and doing his duty, he changed his direction. He changed the direction of his life. He delayed the trip that was something he had to do, but he saw something that was even more important. And that reminds me of Martha and Mary. "Oh, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better thing, the more important thing, to be at the feet of Jesus." And look where that leper went. He did the more important thing. He went to the feet of Jesus. Remember the woman who anointed Jesus with her hair and the oils. And he said that was a precious thing. Something about humbling ourselves and coming before Jesus and worshiping and thanking him is precious to God because he knows how good it is for us. So how about us? Do we really see all that God has done for us? Do we really see how God is making a difference in our life? Do we see in the face of adversity, do we see danger or do we see an opportunity to see God move? When we see human need, when we see misery, do we see, oh no, another demand on our life? Or do we see an opportunity to be a blessing? When we see a stranger, do we see an enemy or a potential friend or someone that we can share the truth of God with? And if we even go beyond that, when we look to God, do we see him as a stern judge or do we see him as a loving parent? When we look at ourselves, do we see a failure or do we see a loved, beloved child of God? Because that's how He sees us, as His child, someone He loves. When we look to the future, do we see or do we feel, are we fearful about the future? Or do we see challenges ahead? How we answer all those questions and many more depends on how we see, what we see. And the more thankful we are towards God, the more we train ourselves to be thankful in looking at God, what God has done for us, all those things, we will see then that they are just more opportunities to serve God and to give thanks to Him. The 10 lepers were healed, but only one saw something more. One saw Jesus, the living God. He recognized His blessing and He rejoiced in it, and it changed the course of his life. I'm sure it changed his behavior. It says that he was made whole, and I don't think it was talking just about his leprosy. If we believe, we will see God's glory revealed. And for that, we need to be thankful. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You that You have given us eyes to see. Lord, help us to see all that You're doing in our life, all that You've done. Help us to see what's going on around us, Lord God, ways that we can honor You and bless You, Lord God. Help us to have eyes to see, and help us to be thankful in all situations, Lord God. Thankful for what we have. Thankful for who You made us to be. Thankful for what You're doing and how You're working in our life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.